Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Celebrate our God-given freedom and faith while honoring our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Frank Friar Podcast. I'm your friendly neighborhood Carmelite, the Frank Friar, a.k.a. Father Nicholas, reporting to you all from upstate New York. I'm doing well with my prosthetic, and hopefully I'll have physical therapy here soon, but I'm able to offer the Mass regularly at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and a variety of other things in terms of public ministry. Today, the podcast, I want to talk about the first reading that we had this past Sunday, the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year C. And the reading was from First Book of Kings, chapter 19, near the end of it, where Elijah visits Elisha. And there's something going on there that I think is of the utmost importance for us. And to get into the reading, I think it's important to understand what's the meaning of their names. As a Carmelite, we have a particular devotion to the prophet Elijah. We speak about him as father. He is one of our spiritual founders. We still celebrate him on July 20th, so we have liturgical celebration with proper prayers and all that, and I believe the Carmelite order is the only order in the Western aspect of the Catholic Church where figures from the Old Testament are still celebrated. Now, Elijah, what does that name mean? That name means, my God is the Lord. So whenever he is on the scene, his name invokes a very important message that the Lord is God over Israel. He is a prophet that went to a people who were backsliding and getting into worship of the other gods and the nations around them. And there were certain ramifications in a social setting. You know, one of the things is child sacrifice has begun, etc. So this man Elijah, whose name invokes this very stark choice, my God is the Lord. People that deal with him have to make a decision. And he offers that question again on Mount Carmel. And then we see this man, whose name conveys a message about who God is, goes to Elisha at the command of the Lord. And Elisha's name means, my God is salvation. There's a sweet movement between these two prophets and those messages. The prophet who proclaims by his very name that the Lord is God, and the ramifications of that relationship, of being open to that message, is... the horizon of salvation is now something that we can begin to approach, not by our own will, but in relationship to the God who is the Lord. Now, these men aren't perfect. Elijah himself felt doubt and despair and went out to the broom tree to sort of die in the wilderness. Elisha, we see in this exchange, oh, well, let me go do this, let me go do that. And you could tell Elijah's being a little bit snarky in the text. Because we settle so easily for other gods in our lives. Now, you could make an argument about child sacrifices in today's culture in relationship to Planned Parenthood and abortion rights and et cetera in the United States and a variety of other countries. You know, this is my body. That sort of proclamation, instead of it being about the Lord, who we become when we receive the Eucharist, we become more and more like the Lord. We sort of make our own beings into little gods. I see this a lot when I aid people in sort of spiritual direction, and they use the word should and ought a lot. Well, I should be like this. I ought to be like this. They have set up in their mind a future notion of who they are, quote unquote, meant to be, who they should be. And now, instead of serving the Lord, they now focus on this person that they feel that they are called to be, and they begin to worship and idolize that person. So the message of Elijah, by his very name, is of the utmost importance. We have to put first things first. We have to orientate our heart towards God, and then when we're focused on God, we're able to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, which happens in the very being of God. For he is love, and in his love, our love becomes transformed and becomes like his love. So instead of seeking the satisfaction of the flesh, our souls and flesh become satisfied in the good things of the Lord. So we see this nice movement between these two prophets, only from their names, only from their names. We can go on, I can go on and on for hours about this. We are asked in our formation process, spend a lot of time going over the Elijah parts of the Old Testament, you know, parts about him in Sirach, his stories in 1st and 2nd Kings. But my brothers and sisters, we have to be able to definitively say and struggle with the reality that our God is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord. He must be first in our lives. First things first. When we place our heart in the throngs of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we are able to go forward and love our neighbors. And this is the evidence that we have love for God. If you don't see love for neighbor or love for yourself, you know there's something wrong in the first place in your relationship with God, in our relationship with God, even in a communal way. So the very name of Elijah invokes us to look at our relationship with the Lord. Can we say, as Elijah names proclaim, that our God is the Lord? Can we honestly say that right now in our individual lives and in our communal lives as parishes and in different parts of the Catholic Church? That's a stark, hard, radical question, but we need to be open, honest, and authentic first and foremost to ourselves so we can go out into the world and begin to proclaim the kingdom of God, which was the gospel message that we received this past Sunday, also at the end of Luke chapter 9. My brothers and sisters, may we be open to wrestling with this profound reality this week that our God is the Lord. And we are meant to love, honor, and serve him. And when we do that and we exercise our freedom in that way, everything else falls into place. And the love of God is able to pour forth through our hearts, not as like a bend in the river, but as like a cup that overflows in that beautiful image of Psalm 23. We are filled to the brim and it overflows and impacts all those around us. So let us wrestle with who the Lord is in our life. And if it's an idol, cast it aside. If it's done a lot of damage in your life, go to confession. Be cleansed, be free. And be not afraid, as Elijah was not afraid, in proclaiming who God is. Thank you very much for your time today. Know that I'm with you. Know that I'm praying for you. And may God continue to bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you like what I'm doing here on my podcast, please make sure to check out my website, thefrankfriar.com. There on my website, thefrankfriar.com, you can find blog posts, you can find links to my Catholic Stand articles, my YouTube videos. You can contact me through that page. There's also links to my other social media items I use, like Twitter and Facebook. My website is thefrankfriar.com. Thank you very much for your time today. You know that I'll be praying for you.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bach with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.